episode 18, which doesn't really have a name yet, except Anime Fest.
Anime Fest, Bonanza, something, something, spectacular, awesome, sauce, I don't know. I gave up.
I think right now I've got it named Anime Fest 2012, so that's what we're sticking with, unless I find a really bad pun that I can throw in there.
Oh, we'll figure out something. We'll figure out something. There is a guarantee. Because you are a punny, punny lady.
I can't really argue with that. But anyways, without much ado, there really isn't an intro for this episode. We're just going to dive headfirst into the ocean that was Anime Fest.
Wow. Did you come up with that all by yourself? And she rolled her eyes at me.
Of course I did. I haven't had dinner yet, so my brain is off in La La Land.
You have chicken behind you. You're good. Just snack away. This is like hangout, chill out time.
I'm not going to eat in front of the camera. That's
I'm
gross,
drinking in front
and you'll
of
get
the camera.
You'll get my smacking noises.
I'm drinking vitamin water in front of the camera, so there you go.
Speaking of eating, we are going to talk about the food at the plaza.
Oh my god. The food trucks. Holy
crap. Let's start at the beginning, because that makes sense. The trucks didn't come until later. The trucks didn't come until after the beginning. We will get there in due time. All right.
You don't talk about food when it's dinner time, lady. Of course we're going to talk about food first. Duh. See, she's going to pull her chicken. She's going to have her chicken.
I'm not going to eat it. It's going to sit behind me. All right. So we ended up arriving on Friday, even though pre-registration opened up on Thursday. We both did not have time to do Thursday at all. So we ended up getting there actually almost the exact same time on Friday, even though that was not coordinated at all.
It just kind of happened that way.
Yeah, she actually passed me in the parking lot unloading my car.
Yep. I yelled out my window. You got a nice parking spot, too. I had to go all the way up to the fourth floor.
I don't know how I managed that parking spot, but I'm not going to complain. It made it really easy to get in and out.
Yeah. I wouldn't have moved that entire weekend. I would have just sat there like, everyone else can drive me around. This is my parking spot.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
But speaking of not moving, the registration lines. And
oh, God.
Let me preface this entire review by saying that we are going to say some negative things, and it's not because we want to complain. Well, we want to do it in the interest of making the convention better by addressing issues that need improving. So this is meant as constructive criticism.
Yeah,
this is not a complain fest. I won't say the other word because this is an After Dark. But we're going to say these things to improve the convention. So
yeah, and I think for us, we're both approaching it more as the attendee, because I know when I'm writing up my review right now on the AFest forums, and I have myself as a panelist, and I have myself as press, and I'm still working on the attendee one. And I felt, as a panelist and press, I mean, they did a pretty good job. In terms of panelists, I was really happy with how they've helped me out and how they were able to get me through a bunch of things. And press had its ups and downs, but staff members were very, in general, very polite, very awesome, very cool. So I think a lot of our negative stuff is going to come as attendees, especially as longtime AFest goers, and we know what to expect out of the convention.
Or at any rate, longtime convention goers, even if not necessarily AFest in particular.
Yeah. But I mean, AFest holds a special soft place for both of us. I mean, it's Hangout Con.
Yes, it is Hangout Con. And we definitely hung out in the registration lines for a long time.
Very long time.
I don't know how long it took you to get your badge. It took me about an hour and a half, and that was pre-registered.
Yeah. About an hour and 45 minutes. We were done about 15, 20 minutes after you.
Okay. And of course, oddly, I was stopped in the hotel lobby by quite a few people who were asking where the badges were.
Yes.
So something that I would suggest to the convention staff would be to have signage of some sort, or to make it more clear somehow to first-time attendees who may or may not even have access to the internet and may not have seen the maps in the program book,
mm-hmm.
where registration was.
Right.
Because a lot of people did not know. And unless you actually went all the way down the escalators and looked to see the lines, you may have missed it entirely.
Mm-hmm.
The badges were new this year. In fact, let me grab mine real quick.
Yeah, they were ginormous badges. They were ludicrously oversized badges. I was explaining how big the badges are. They are ridiculous.
This is comparison next to my head.
Yeah.
The badge is very, very large. It's probably a good 5 to 6 inches across and probably 6 to 8 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. And part of the reason they were big is because they've got all these barcodes on them.
Yeah.
So you can see all these things. There's QR code. There's a barcode. And then on the back,
they have a little chip in the back, too. They were, like, scanned up. There you go. You're good.
You can see the darkened little square here, and that's the radio tag. The RF. I don't even know if it's RFID in particular, but it is some sort of radio tag.
Yeah.
And all the badges had these, of course, whether you were press or whether you were regular pre-reg or even if you were on-site, all the badges had this.
Right.
And I know that a lot of attendees were saying that the larger ones were good because you could actually store hotel room keys and other sort of things inside the holder on the back, which is fine if that's what you chose to use it for. But I don't think these were intended to be purses. And
cosplayer friendly, not so much. Can't really hide that sucker.
Here's the old badge for comparison in size.
Yeah.
So you
Big
can
difference.
See that these are a ton bigger. They're really difficult to hide in photos. And to be quite honest, since you really had to have your badge out at all times, it wasn't like mm-hmm. you could just simply leave it off. You had to wear it on you at some point, with the exception of the cosplay runway, but that's an exception. So that was also something else about registration. The location may not have been the best of ideas. I don't know if they need to move it around to where Akon had it. That's totally up to them, but I heard stories. This didn't personally happen to me. But when the lines got extra long, people would just simply walk in the front doors and they would end up line skipping without knowing it because they couldn't tell where the line started and ended, and there weren't very clear markers showing that there were multiple lines for pre-reg. People would just walk in, see people standing in line, and just kind of stand with them.
Yeah, and my thought, there were two things that I had on that, and one of them is a suggestion I found online. The first is that I think if they actually had staff members helping police the lines, I know that staffing was an issue now that they've posted it on their Facebook that, like, half the staff members just didn't show up at all. So I'm, like, even more sympathetic to them. But if they had found some way to maybe pull some staffers from other areas and help moderate the lines, I think it would have helped out a little bit better with crowd control. The second idea was to move the registration more towards the back of that first ballroom, of the first floor, right where the dead zone is for the artist alley. Not only would it give it more potential sales for the artist alley, but it'd be very easily labeled. You can line people up a lot better. You know, just a couple ideas to kind of throw out their way.
Yeah, plus I think also it would have shown people that there were panel rooms around the back.
Yeah, that was the other problem, too.
We will get to the panels very
shortly. Yeah.
But right after we ended up getting our badges, we checked into our hotel rooms, and bravo on the hotel for being very quick about having the rooms ready and for having multiples ready so that we could all check in at the same time.
Yeah.
So bravo on the hotel for being prepared for that. I ended up staying with a bunch of people in a suite, so I didn't personally have the room in my name, so I didn't have to go to check-in. But I ended up getting my room late, and that leads to the cosplay prejudging, which we both participated in. And Unfortunately, they ended up running a little bit behind. Registration was a big part of it because a lot of people thought they had to have their badge to get prejudged. And so a lot of the contestants were stuck in the registration line, which hopefully that will get remedied, of course. The cosplay staff, bless them, they were run ragged. They really were. I don't know if any of them ate properly for the entire day.
Yeah, I know Melfina did because she's had a handler with her who was able to bring her food.
I mean the non-judges.
Well, yeah.
Basically, everybody who was not the three people in that room.
Right.
Which, this was my first time being prejudged. I'm sure you've gone through it many times, but this was my first time being prejudged. You should have given me some pointers.
That's why you're supposed to go to my panel.
I couldn't go to your panel.
You read my outline. You knew what the outline was, so you could had a clear idea of what to expect.
Uh-huh.
You knew.
And it's very different than actually walking in the room and standing.
Yes, it is.
If you don't like being in front of people who are sitting there analyzing you, it's more or less like an interview in front of a panel of three people. If you're not a fan of that, you're probably not going to be very comfortable prejudging.
Right.
Thankfully, that is not a problem for me. I have been through interviews before, and as a musician, I'm kind of used to the public scrutinizing me. So it was a little bit intimidating, just a little bit, because I was sitting there going, oh God, did I finish all my seams? Oh, I know where that one seam is on my entire costume I didn't finish. I know that there are bits of my EL wire ripping off the bow at this very moment. Oh God, the EL wire is dying.
Right.
So I knew I had all these things wrong, and I knew they were going to be like poking and prodding me over it. Oddly enough, they did not end up keeping my portfolio.
They didn't. They kept ours.
Okay. Well, that's because you ended up doing something later on that we were also going to get to, which is probably why they kept it. Also, your masters.
We also had a lot of crap. I mean, this is the other complaint that I heard from a lot of people, too, and I know why they do this, because they're trying to get people moved along and, like, not back them up as much as necessary, but for three people to describe our costumes in 5 minutes is a little ludicrous. Even one person can eat up 5 minutes without explaining every little detail. So
a lot of single contestants were judged in 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, and it's just one of those where it was like there was so much information that we could give them that we literally had to just like, here's our portfolio. We have to go over this with you because it's going to give you way more detail than we really have time to explain.
Yeah, I know part of the reason they ended up hurrying is because multiple people were scheduled during the same time slot.
Right.
And with the registration being the way it was, and people arriving late, garage being full, what have you, a lot of contestants kept trying to bump their times back.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually all the contestants ended up clustered in the very latter half of the evening, which made it really hard. They had to kind of churn them out. So... But other than that, I think in general, without going into the drama that is cosplay and being judged,
right?
I think in terms of process, they did really well.
Mm-hmm.
It went very smoothly to the best of my knowledge. The only thing that took a little bit of time was assigning us our numbers for when we had to go in a certain order based on our category of competition.
Right.
But... You know, that aside, and even then, that didn't take comparatively that long. But other than that, I don't know about you, but I think it went pretty smoothly.
I had it up and down. I think for me, because I was literally rushing from the moment that I picked up my badge till the end of the contest, I haven't really had a chance to sit and process all of it. My brain is still kind of melting from the weekend. So I personally think it went a little... smoother last year? Not so much this year? I don't know. I still got a process. And your sound went off! Or my sound went off. I can't hear you anymore. I can't hear you. But clearly you can hear me.
There we go. Sorry.
There we go. What'd you do?
Pushed a button.
Broke it. You pushed a button.
I have myself muted if I'm not actively speaking so that it doesn't pick up background noises and switch to me while you're talking.
Oh! I don't care if it switches to you.
I've been muting myself every so often. But what I was going to say is that, you know, unless you have anything else to say, I think we can close it by saying that the process seemed to go pretty smoothly.
Yeah, for the most part. Give me a week while I process and then I'll post it up.
Yeah. Well. Okay, so basically after that, we didn't really have much time to do anything else before the runway itself.
Mm-hmm.
I know that seating started late, very late.
Very late.
Not entirely sure why, to be honest. I never even heard rumors of why they started so late. I know that people were lining up early.
Yeah.
I don't know how early, but I do know that they were lining up early. And we went in. And we had rehearsal time if we needed to, you know, walk the stage, check the dimensions, make sure we're not all going to fall on our faces. There were three things that I noticed really quickly upon walking into the room that kind of really need improvement. The first was the lack of water stations.
Yes.
There was no water to be had for any of the cosplayers. And if you've been a cosplayer for any amount of time and you've worn a costume that has four or five layers in it, you get hot really quickly and you dehydrate very quickly. Mm-hmm. Because not only are you in the costume, you're walking across a stage in front of a bunch of really hot, hot stage lighting. So I beg the cosplay staff next year, I know there were water stations outside of the auditorium, but that's not the point. There really needs to be a small water station in the auditorium for the cosplayers so that we don't have to go in and out and in and out to get water.
Especially for those of us who are in, like, really big, bulky costumes or have or can't are not really mobile enough.
Yeah, a hydrated cosplayer is a safer cosplayer. You won't have as many
cosplayer.
People fainting.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, speaking of fainting, is that there was no air circulation in that room.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's because there was a lot of weird electrical issues going on over the weekend, so I'm wondering if maybe that kind of coincided with it.
No.
But I don't know.
No. I can tell you right off that the vents that they did have were so high in the vaulted ceiling that it really wouldn't have made that much of a difference with that many bodies in the room.
Oh, okay. Well, cool.
They didn't have it turned on high power enough. They would have basically had to blast that room as low as it would go to make any sort of headway. And even then, heat rises, so you're basically only circulating the heat at the top of the room, not down below where you needed it. Realistically, they needed a pair of floor fans for the cosplayers.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't have really helped the audience. But it would have really helped the cosplayers who were, of course, roasting. I felt really bad for the Mass Effect guys in their armor. I mean, they said that they were roasting. And the girl who did the Queen of Hearts, the multi-layer ball gown.
Yes.
I feel really bad for those guys because they were very hot and there was no circulation and no water. But the third thing is that it was really hard to hear in the back of the auditorium.
Yeah, I heard that a lot during the skit contest, too, and you could tell by my audio from some of the video that I took, which is why I went towards the back to talk to people. You just could not hear. It was very muffled.
Yeah, so whenever they were shouting instructions, you couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to wait until the guy came all the way back and basically stood in front of you.
Yeah.
Until you could understand him. So I guess it's just the acoustics in that room are not very good.
They're not very good.
So hopefully maybe next year they can take, you know, one or two of those speakers that they had blasting the front of us.
Yeah.
And put them maybe in the middle of the auditorium or maybe even in the back so that the people back there, I mean, almost like a surround sound experience so that everybody can hear what's going on equally instead of kind of having to, you know, strain and feel like you're 70 years old that you can't hear anything.
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
If you're in the competition and need to hear the instructions.
That would be helpful, huh?
Especially when the instructions are kind of dependent on the category that you're in.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much my criticism with the cosplay runway. Other than that, I think it ran very smoothly. I mean, yes, they truncated opening ceremonies very short because they started seating so late.
Way late.
So they were just playing catch up. That wasn't really, they couldn't do much about it without having the runway run very late and then make the dances late.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, scheduling issues aside, things seem to go pretty smoothly. I won't really comment on the winners because that just invites drama and judging costumes.
It's open drama all over the place again. This is one of the heartbreaking things I have about the runway contest. There's always a question about the judges. There's always a question about who wins or who doesn't win. And I know the one thing that I do like about a lot of the cosplayers at AFES is that they respect one another, but they never quite understand the judges and what their background is and how they apply to cosplay. So they always feel like that they're not accurately assessing everyone like they should be.
Though I will give Anime Fest credit, they put the biographies of the judges up on their website and in their program book.
They took my suggestion from last year. That was my big suggestion. I was like, I never know who the judges are. Could you like put up a bio about them or something? Because I kind of want to know.
Yeah, so we did at least get to know who the judges were and what their qualifications were this year before we even walked on site.
Right. So that was kind of cool. But, yeah, and my other big thing, and this is one that I'm always going to preach to them every single year until they change this, is I hate the fact that it's on Friday. And I love that it's separate from the skits, because I think the skits are really a show unto themselves. The skits are fantastic by themselves. But the runway, especially this year, because even though it started late, it went by pretty quickly. It seemed ludicrous to me to keep it on Friday when there's so much rushing around, when you can do it easily on Saturday just before the concert. Plenty of time for the band to still set up. Plenty of time to give everyone a chance to get into the convention and be judged and do all that business. So that's always my chief complaint. I hate the fact that it's on Friday.
I don't know that that's ever going to change.
I know, and that depresses me too. It makes me sad.
I really liked the MCs.
Yes. Sid and Ben always make me laugh and smile in ways that are insane.
Ugh, my video froze.
You're fine on my side.
Oh, okay. As long as it looks fine on your side, because my end froze. Go figure. I'll just keep going.
Yeah, but it is going to be Ben's last year emceeing. I don't know if Sid is going to be doing it next year, so.
Aww.
Tear.
It really helps to have MCs that are good at improv and that know how to stretch and compress time as needed.
And they also care about the cosplayers and the skits, and they care about the performance.
Definitely, which we saw in the skit contest.
Oh, absolutely.
But speaking of the results, Miss Val here took Best in Show with her group.
I broke my curse.
You want to talk a little bit about your group and who they were?
Sure. We're awesome.
They were from Chrono Cross and cosplayed as...
Okay. So I cosplayed with their handles are Negative Dreamer and Tara Potamus, a.k.a. Sean Tuffy and Tara. We cosplayed from Chrono Cross. I did Riddell. Tara did Irene, which is the fish lady. And then Sean did Glenn, and I made his wig so pretty. I love my wig job on him. Yay! But yeah, we spent quite a bit of time trying to figure out how we're going to make this work because those two live in Florida. I live here in Texas. So yeah, that was a lot of fun trying to coordinate and get things moving and rolling. And I was really happy, and I feel like a real cosplayer now because I've been with the group, and I've been with a really awesome-ass group. And yeah, I broke my streak because my streak has been so far that I've only won awards with bad characters. I won an award with a good character. That was awesome. And yeah, we were just, we actually thought it was going to be the person that won Best Masters also was in Chrono Cross, Lynx, who was one of the primary villains from the game. And she won Best Masters. And when we saw that she had won, we were like, I think it's going to be us guys.
You could tell when he started describing that the
yes.
winner was a group and that it was a video game that he was incredibly fond of.
And that six people in the audience applauded for.
Yeah. So there was that. So CosPod represent you.
But it's not just about me, because guess what? You won something too, lady.
Yes, I won the creativity.
So bad.
I won the creativity award for all my
Yay.
Shiny electronics. Second time's the charm for Lena.
Yay! I knew that you would have a much better chance at AFS because yours is very technically strong. And that's why I'm glad you were able to do prejudging so they could actually see the work that you put into it.
Yeah, I ended up having to describe a lot about what I did for my electronics, and I was very glad I paid attention.
Good.
So, needless to say, I am still kind of shocked after the fact, still, that I won it. I don't know, I guess I didn't even think about the Creativity Award. I was aiming for Best Prop, which
yeah.
I noticed that they never gave.
I thought they did. I don't know. I don't remember. Was it?
See, I don't remember seeing it. No, they actually listed on their website that there is a best prop.
So that must have been the Legend of Zelda group.
Very possibly.
Stan. That's the only thing I can think of. That had to have been Melinda Chan's group then.
Probably. I may just be misremembering, which is entirely possible since it has been a hell of a week since the con.
Oh, it's been a long week.
It has been a long, hard week for both of us, actually getting back to real life.
I wish today were Friday, to be frankly honest. We're recording on Thursday. Hi, Saturday people.
But that aside, something else that I would suggest is that they have the prizes divided out in advance.
Oh, yes. That annoyed me, too. That happened last year, too.
See, I didn't know that.
But it happened last year, too. Now, the caveat is last year, at least they were aware of it ahead of time. This year, they had the prizes. They just didn't divide them. But last year, they knew the prizes were not there. They took down everyone's information right there at the contest, and they said, we will mail it out to you within the month. And they did. So at least it was organized. This year, it was just a mess, unfortunately. And, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
the good news is that at least I know that there were people who got their certificates.
Mm-hmm.
So at
Mine's
least there
Florida.
Was that. So there was that. But I would still make the suggestion that they divide them out beforehand so that this isn't an issue, because I know that shipping items, since we don't even know what we want.
Yeah.
And shipping some of these things can get expensive.
Exactly.
It's money that the convention really doesn't have to spend if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're ready on site, they can just hand them out on site and not have to worry about shipping them.
Or in my case, because I have a group, all of my stuff is in Florida. They were able to pick it up at the very, very last minute on Monday. And so now they're having to spend extra money to send it to me. And that's even more of an inconvenience.
Yeah. So I believe that pretty much sums up the runway. So it went well. There were like a couple of things that probably need fixing. But all in all, you know, it went pretty well considering.
Could have been better. Could have been a lot worse. It could have been way, way worse. So, and I'm glad that they were right on it with judging and getting us in and out.
Yeah. Let's move into panels, since I know you had a lot of experience with that and I had experience with that on the other end.
Right.
So why don't you go first, since you were the panelist this time around?
I was the panelist this time around. I had fun with my panels, man. And even though I had a number of people who've been emailing me or, like, posting on my DA or sending me messages that they didn't know where my room was, or they couldn't find my room because, you know, it wasn't really posted anywhere. The people that did show up, they all seemed really engaged. They were very much interested in what I had to teach, and I've gotten a lot of good responses so far, so that makes me really happy. So technology was kind of being a pain in the butt. I'm trying to think of I'm trying to be PC because I want to say evil things about technology. Because the very first day, my first panel about Cosplay Runway, which was the only reason why I brought my laptop, was so I could show videos of how to do some awesome runway walks where you only need 30 seconds, and projector never worked. Couldn't show the videos.
I noticed that happened during several panels, actually. There were a lot of people who suddenly couldn't show PowerPoints or videos.
Yeah, and at least I prepared and I know my presentation well enough that I didn't need the PowerPoint. I mean, my view, and this is how PowerPoint should be, PowerPoint is your guide. It is not your entire presentation. If your presentation is a PowerPoint, you're doing it wrong. Fix it.
Or at least that you should be prepared for that technology to fail and have a backup.
Exactly. So I was able to give my panel completely fine without the PowerPoint. I just wish that I could have showed those videos. And in the edit that I'm doing to put up on our CosPod page, it will have the videos included. But yeah, aside from that, I'm really thankful for the techs there. They're so cool and so patient and working with me. They are the most awesome people ever. And I give them major hearts and props because I know that's a big job to do. There we go. Because it's a pain, and they don't get any love back for it. And next time, because I want to teach another panel at ACON, I'm going to bring, like, cupcakes or cookies for them.
I think they will appreciate that.
I hope they do. But yeah, I enjoy teaching my panels, and I really can't wait to do it again. I love being a panelist. It makes me happy and squishy inside.
So I guess I will address the other side of this. And the first thing is the layout.
Yeah.
A-Fest did something very different this year in that they took the main ballroom in the Sheraton and they divided it into 8 parts. Those 8 parts were not equal in size.
Yes.
So they had in the center kind of running horizontally along the length of the ballroom was panel room 6 and special events, where they held things like the Pokemon battle, the semi-formal dance, things like that. And then running vertically on the other sides of those rooms, 3 each, were the panel rooms, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then kind of a weird room that was never used. Oh, I'm sorry, it was the art show.
It was the art show, yeah.
The art show was on the other side. So we had 1, 2, 3 on one side, and then art show 4, 5 on the other, because 6 was in the middle. So the layout was rather awkward in that sense. Also that they did not have any sort of signs on the sides of the auditorium saying, panel rooms this way.
Right.
You actually had to go walk all the way down that hallway because the only signs that showed you what room was what were sitting directly in front of the room, and there was usually a staffer sitting in front of it so you couldn't always see it.
You know what? I wonder if because so many of us, this is a Texas, and I mean, so many of us think of this as like ACON 2.0. Maybe a bunch of us thought that those were video rooms instead and didn't realize the video rooms were on the third floor this year.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. That if our listeners have feedback on that, let us know. Or if you want to go on the A-Fest forums, definitely let them know.
Yeah.
But I do wish that they would have made it more clear.
Yes.
Which rooms were which and where they were, particularly from the outside. For those who did not go online to their site or in the program book, they had no maps. Mm-hmm. A-Fest did not hand out maps.
No.
Nor did they hand out schedules.
No. Nope.
And I think that that's one of the main reasons that the vast majority of the panels I attended
were pretty
empty. Maybe had 10 people in them?
Yeah, that disappointed me too, because there were some really good panels. The ones that I could attend, they were really good, and it kind of made me sad that so few people showed up. Like Saucy Noodle had some great panels. There were so few people in there, and it was just like, what happened? Where's everybody off to?
There were a lot of comments on the forums that people just did not know where to go because
exactly.
they didn't the schedules were not handed out in registration. The only schedules that there were on site, if you didn't go online, were at the info desk. You had to ask for them.
It was ridiculous.
On 2 pages. The entire weekend schedule was on 2 pages, and the font was insanely small. It looked like they used font size 6.
So probably like that tiny, up close.
It would have hurt your eyes to read it. In fact, we can put up a picture. I took a picture of the schedule.
Oh, cool.
So the picture can go up here in the recording.
Yeah.
But the schedule was very hard to read, and also for those like me who are very visual learners, isn't the right word, but visual people, mm-hmm. a spreadsheet format is much easier for me to read, to see what's overlapping and to see what is going on against what.
Exactly.
Instead of having it in list form, which is the way they did it, and they basically put all the panels going on at 10 o'clock, all the panels going on at 11 o'clock.
Oh.
Instead of listing it maybe by room, which is the way they did it on the schedules that were in front of the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And those were done in spreadsheet format. Those were a lot easier to read.
Yeah, I'm glad that we took the time to make our own spreadsheet. Otherwise,
both
we probably
of us
been
made
lost.
Our own.
Yeah.
It was easier to read. Plus, we can color code our own,
mm-hmm.
which was really helpful because Saturday was, oh my God, busy.
I don't remember Saturday. It's a blur.
I do. Also, the other thing I wanted to touch on really briefly concerning the panels was the badges.
Mm-hmm.
The checking on the badges was fairly inconsistent. The whole point of the radio tags was so that we could have them scanned by these tablets that the panel staff had. You know, they had checkers standing in front of the door, and you would swipe your badge in front of the reader, and it would beep, mm-hmm. and that way they'd know that your badge was legit and you could walk in the room. Not everybody scanned them. I know there weren't enough scanners to go around. That budget issue, totally understand. But I wish they were more consistent about doing it so that,
right.
especially for the panels where there were a lot of people, you would know to get into two lines so that they could scan you through faster. Mm-hmm. Or you would know to line up properly instead of just helter-skelter everywhere. They'll just let you in after looking at your badge.
Right.
So, you know, I know that they're looking out for fraud, but I honestly don't think that the expense they went through... Yeah, the expense they went through I don't think was justified, to be honest.
I like your idea, like how they do it with Alcon. Do a hologram.
BOM actually brought that up.
Oh, really? I thought you did.
No, it was not me.
Thanks, Bank of Mom. You're awesome.
Give her full credit.
I love you, Bank of Mom.
I did notice that the radio tag on my press badge never worked.
Yeah, mine on my badge died out on Saturday.
So I kept having, every time I wanted to go in somewhere, I'd have to flip to my other badge. Thank God I had my other badge
mm-hmm.
so that they could scan it, because you always had to have it scanned to go in the dealer's tent.
Yep.
That was the only place where you always had to have your badge scanned. Everywhere else it was just kind of hit and miss. Sometimes they even flipped my badge around to the back to see if I had the radio tag. It's like, wow, really? Are people seriously going to scan the badge, stick it in a laminated holder, and try and, you know, pull fraud?
It was just too much of an expense for something that was very inconsistent and just didn't seem to work. I think if anything, it wasted too much time. Because the scanning itself took way too long. I mean, it should have just been beep, go. But, I mean, technology can only do so much.
Well, you know, if they want to do the scanning, that's fine. Have 15-minute breaks in between panels.
Panels, yeah.
So that during the time when the panelists are breaking down and or setting up, the badge scanners can be going ahead and scanning the audience in. Because that was something else I noticed. You can probably speak to it more as a panelist, but AFEST's schedule had no breaks. Everything was just boom, 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 and that made it really hard for us as filmers.
This is why I always plan at least 10 minutes at the end of my panel for questions in case something is delayed, in case I am not allowed in, because there was two panels where I wasn't allowed in until 10 minutes after I was supposed to start. And it was like, okay, and yet they still came in and were like, you need to finish on time. And I was like, well, crap, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that some panelists finished really late.
Mm-hmm.
Or they ended up running late. And they would basically hold the audience outside.
Yeah.
So hopefully next year they will consider staggering a little bit the times. I mean, even if that means that the panelist only gets a 50-minute slot instead of an hour slot and use that 10 minutes as, you know, bridge, fine. Just tell the panelists.
I'll do that.
Tell the panelists they have 50 minutes.
Yeah.
We can plan for it. Just let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt kind of bad because I ended up being the one filming this time while she taught. Well, you weren't the primary filmer.
Right.
That was my job this con.
Right.
And not only did I not have any sort of time to run between panel rooms because there were no breaks.
Right.
In fact, I ended up having to cut the end off some of the panels. But I ended up having to stop like 5 or 10 minutes early so that I could pack up my gear and run all the way around to the other side for the other panel rooms. Because remember that the panel rooms are on either side of the ballroom. So if I had to suddenly go from panel room 3 to panel room 5, I had to pack up and run all the way around and get into the next room. You know, and if there was a line, well, then there was a line.
Yeah,
thankfully, one of the nice things about being press at this con, the staff was really good about it. They let press in early.
Thank goodness.
They were really good about letting us in early. As soon as we got there, they didn't ask any questions. They just looked at our badge. They're like, yeah, you can go in. You know, do you need anything? Do you need a socket? You know, and we were able to sit up in the front if we wanted to, and that really helped our footage, let me tell you. And, you know, they did everything they could to help us. So bravo to the staff for that.
They were really cool about it, and even when they didn't have our badges ready, at least I'm so glad that they were able to communicate to everyone fairly quickly, you know, hey, these are the people, they have, you know, such and such, this is their indication that they're pressed, please let them in. So that was cool.
My one complaint about press, and hopefully this will get remedied next year, as this moves into Sunday, the interview schedule.
Yes.
And I know this really doesn't have to do much with anybody who wasn't press, but save to say that we ended up getting notice of when our requested interview was. I'm doing math in my head. 16, about 20 hours prior to it actually happening. We got less than 24 hours notice. Basically, they said, here's the guest you wanted to interview. There's only one available time. This is when the time is. And that call came to me while I was in the middle of filming a panel for one, so I couldn't even answer it until, you know, I had to leave the panel. But we had no prep time.
Yeah, there was nothing we could really do. It was just kind of, okay.
I felt really bad because I had actually checked out their portfolio before the con. Thank God I did. I had the foresight to actually study. Because if I hadn't, I would have really been in deep doo-doo. But I couldn't get access to Intel Hotel.
Right.
Because the only way to access, the only way to access the internet in the hotel, even the free one, your name had to be on the hotel room's roster. If your name was not on the roster, their system would reject you and you could not get on the internet, even the free one for guests. Even though I was a guest and held a hotel room key, my name was not actually on the roster, so I couldn't actually get on the internet. So I couldn't actually sit down and study anymore. I just kind of had to wing the interview, which you guys will actually be seeing here shortly, and hopefully you don't think I did too terrible of a job. But needless to say, I felt really uncomfortable winging it, so hopefully they will have the interview schedule set further in advance. Yes, I know accommodation needs to be made for certain guests. I won't get into that because that's not proper. But hopefully they will have that change next year because it's very, very inconvenient for us to have to... In fact, I had to drop a 5-hour block out of my schedule to do that interview. And it's nothing against the person that I interviewed. Nothing on him. It was not his fault. it was just frustrating for me to have to basically dump my entire morning because I couldn't plan in advance because we didn't know when it was.
And I know for me, I was kind of stuck. So, otherwise, I would have head on forward and did it by myself, but it was right when my panel was starting. So it was like, I can't do squat.
That's the other thing is that I had to do it. I had to go solo because she couldn't get out of her panel.
Yeah.
And that made it a little harder because I tend to feel better when both co-hosts are there. Because, you know, she may want to ask different questions than I do. You know, I can't really speak for everybody because that's why we're co-hosts. There are more opinions than mine. But at any rate, you know, we'll leave it for you guys to judge how the interview went.
We are here today with Mike Iverson of Blind Squirrel Props. So thank you very much for donating your time to us today.
Sure,
I know it's been a really busy con for you.
Has.
But why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about yourselves and how the moniker Blind Squirrel came to be.
Well, Blind Squirrel comes from the expression, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then.
Okay.
And that kind of sums up how I feel about my luck with props, where anytime I make plans, it rarely works out. I'm usually doing things two or three times.
Okay.
So it's a little self-deprecating, but there's a lot of truth in there, too.
Okay.
I started building, actually I didn't start building props until about 2006, so I haven't been at this a long time.
Okay, so a few years.
Yeah, I mean, mainly my builds have always been either a Halloween costume every now and then or, you know, like a model kit, but nothing really beyond that.
Okay, and I know you did a presentation yesterday where you showed off some of your work. Mm-hmm. Do you actually have a particular genre that you prefer to build props from? Or just kind of anything that you're handed you'll take a whack at?
Well, anything is fun to build. I mean, I've built a lot of things that I really have no interest, personal interest in, but the challenge is interesting and it allows me to try new materials and new techniques, and that's kind of fun. So I've built a lot of things that I would never have had the opportunity if I just been left to my own devices.
Right.
I like building anything I'm into. So right now it's a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff. I like historical weapons and guns, and
I have to say that Helm of Sauron, that is pretty jewelry.
Yeah,
that is
it turned
really
out nice.
Cool.
Turned out nice. That, I mean, that's the first piece in the eventual full suit. So
okay.
That's the plan, if I can ever find the time to make it.
This is one of my pride and joys. This is a personal project of the Helm of Sauron, the first part in my eventual building of the entire suit. When I started this, I didn't have much money at the time, so I decided to kind of use waste molds for producing it. The process is basically, I sculpted this out of clay, and once you have that done, you make a plaster mold around it. And once the plaster set, you pull it off, of course, what that does is it destroys your clay. So you're all in at that point. You reassemble the plaster mold, you pour in your liquid plastic into the plaster mold, you pull off the plaster, once again that destroys the mold. So you got two chances to completely screw it up. Fortunately, everything turned out okay.
Generally, it starts with a lot of research. I try and find as much reference as I can, especially for animation where everything's hand-drawn. A lot of times you'll have it, you know, if it's drawn on the left side, it's drawn one way, and then from another angle it's drawn a completely different way.
Right.
Someone's cutting corners or someone's not following the model sheet. So try and find as much reference to where at least there's some sort of consensus.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I draw up my plans and I draw them full size. And once everything seems to be in order, then I'll start building.
Okay. Do you actually keep a picture of the drawing next to you?
Actually print it out full size and have it on the tabletop. So that way, if I cut out a part, I can actually compare it right there. I don't have to take a measurement.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, if you're putting a ruler on something, you can misread the number. Okay. It's easy enough to do. I do it all the time, so I don't trust myself. I lay it right on the drawing, and if it matches the drawing, then I'm good. A lot of times too, I'll take the drawing and lay it over the sheet, and with a piece of carbon paper, you know, trace out the part.
Okay.
And so I know that I'm dead on.
That's a really neat idea. Now, do you have any sort of workshop that you work with at home?
Well, technically, yes. It's not a workshop by most people's standards. It is a back porch.
Okay.
So at least I have overhead cover. I live in Phoenix, and so shade is all important.
Yes.
When it's, 115, shade actually does some good. Shade and a little fan, because there's no humidity. So that's all right.
Okay.
It's bearable, we'll say. But I usually work very early in the morning, so by about noon I've had enough and I cut it off. My toolbox is a kitchen counter, and the drawing table is the dining room table.
All right.
So I drag my supplies out in the morning and drag them back in at night.
Just like a regular cosplayer, kitchen table is your workstation.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to pick any three tools that a cosplayer or prop maker should have, what three would you choose?
Number one is a Dremel tool. Indispensable. I mean, if you're going to spend any money at all, I know the lathe is all sexy and everyone wants one, but Dremel will not only help you build just about anything, it's a good substitute for all the other bench tools.
Okay.
I've actually built complete props with just the Dremel. In fact, my first few Stormtrooper blaster rifle was all Dremel, and I built a fully functional Russian submachine gun from World War II.
Okay.
That could be completely stripped. It does everything but fire bullets, and that was all Dremel work.
Wow.
So it's an impressive tool. It's not that expensive. It's portable, and... it just does so much.
Do you prefer corded or cordless?
Corded. I don't trust cordless. Cordless will always crap out when you need it the most. And I don't know that... I haven't had my experience with the Dremel cordless tools, but in my experience, the cordless just don't have the power to support it.
Okay.
Second tool would probably be the belt sander.
Okay.
That was actually my second tool. And then third would either be... table saw or maybe a drill press.
Okay.
Maybe I'll go table saw. Good table saw.
Okay. Why the table saw?
Table saw allows you to get some nice clean cuts. I can put an edge on a blade. The table saw, you angle the blade to the angle of your cutting edge,
mm-hmm.
and you just run the wood right through it, and it's done.
Okay.
Minor cleanup. For even general. Just, I need a bunch of pieces 6x6. It's just easy to just zap them right through the table saw and you're done.
Okay.
Whereas if you're just left to the Dremel, you could use a cutting wheel and cut up a bunch of wood, but it's going to take a long time.
Forever.
And they won't be, ready to go. They'll still need it.
This is the Paracelsus key from Guilty Gear. This, I thought was going to be easy because it doesn't have a lot of detail, but... big and simple is the same as small and complicated. This thing is well over 6 feet tall. It separates at the head and at the key from the barrel. Let's see, the chain is a plastic parrot toy. The shaft is, I think, a 4 or 5 inch PVC pipe, the black ABS, sorry. The head and the key was built in foam and then just covered in styrene to get a nice clean surface. The googly eyes are a plastic light dome for like an outdoor light fixture, and I just kind of cut off a little section of it. And then I mounted on a little swivel so you can kind of move the eyes around and make them look in different places. And it's still pretty heavy, even though it's all filled with foam, so it's about 8 pounds. So she had some lugging around to do that day. I think she's still 5'10". I think she's still a pretty tall girl, and it was dwarfing her.
Do your research. Make sure you understand what you're building. Try to build your big shapes first. I know it's real tempting to, I'm working on this the grip of the shotgun, and I want to put in all the little rivets and all the little detail, and because that's the fun part. But then once you get all that done and you get everything assembled, you're looking at it and maybe it's too wide or it's too short, and that means you have to either start all over or cut it and rip it up. If you build your big shapes first, get everything kind of in a rough form, you can check your proportions. And once that's good, then you can start refining detail. After that, you know, don't be discouraged if something doesn't turn out. Be comfortable with the idea that you're probably going to have to rebuild things. Just accept it. If it doesn't turn out, well, you know, don't cry over it. Put it aside. Redo it. I guarantee it will go twice as fast and it will turn out twice as good. Every single time that it happens. And then generally, you know, a lot of people ask me how I get so much work done. And I'm probably an extreme case where I've got a very set schedule. I mean, if I need an alibi, I know where I am any time of the day during the week. If it's between 6 and 12 on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm working out back. Period. And, you know, not a minute later, not a minute earlier. And so I keep a very consistent schedule, and so I can know that I'm going to get my hours in.
Right. Okay. That is a really good idea, have a set schedule. And that's really good advice for prop makers. Yeah. Hopefully our audience will appreciate that. So thank you so much for your time.
Sure thing.
I appreciate it.
All righty.
But speaking of Sunday, skit contest.
Yeah.
That was the big thing on Sunday. I can't address the dances and the concerts on Saturday because I was so bushed at the end of the night after filming for almost 12 hours straight?
Mm-hmm.
11 hours? I think I filmed almost 11 hours on Saturday.
Yeah.
In fact, I ended up skipping one of the panels and I felt really bad for doing it, but I had to get food. You know, when you're at a convention and you feel yourself starting to get lightheaded, you need to stop and take care of yourself. And that's what I did. So I stopped, I had real food, I hydrated myself, you know, and then I kept going. So, back to skit. Seating ran late again, still don't know why. Hopefully they'll fix that. They let press in early. Yay, we got to set up. We did have a chance to meet quite a few fellow podcasters there. Actually,
that was
really fun. That was neat. And we got to talk shop, which was more neat.
I got to talk with some of my photographer buddies who I usually never get to talk to outside of photo shoots. So that was cool, too. I was able to trade more of our info with them. So
networking.
Yay!
But the skit contest pretty much ended up getting the same kind of comments out of me as the runway.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what went well and what didn't.
Yes. Still need water in there.
Still need water. Still need fans. There were very few skits, oddly enough.
Yeah, there were fewer skits
than normal. I think there were 7 or 8.
Yeah, which is unusual for A-Fest, because A-Fest usually pops around 10 to 12.
Yeah, which it felt kind of odd, and I say that because there were 4 awards, which means half the skits won awards.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think if I remember reading correctly, they ended up dropping one award. I don't remember because in order to balance it out better.
Possibly. I hadn't heard any such thing, but then again, you know, I don't always talk to the same people, so that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Definitely not going to comment on the winners because there was a lot of controversy about the awards and who won them and who didn't win them particularly. The only thing I will say is that I am sure there is a reason for the rankings being the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
We will probably never know that reason because it's for the judges and the judges alone. But that's pretty much all I want to say about it, is that I'm fairly certain this was not random, that this happened for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I want to say about that. But
as a whole,
incurring drama and wrath.
Yeah, I don't want to incur any drama or wrath, of course. That would be bad. We need to be... We want people to still like us. I know we say things that are going to be questionable at times, but we want you to like us. Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't want to basically engage in a debate that's not constructive. That debate would not be constructive.
That is a fancy and fun way of saying that. Thank you. But what I was going to say, though, is that overall, all of the participants should be really proud of their work and what they showcased, because it was still a fantastic and great skit contest. irregardless of the outcome, everyone did a fantastic job.
It was incredibly entertaining, I have to
say. Absolutely. And I really do hope, since you took all the video, I did the photography this time, and I got up close on stage and got some really fun shots.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not even talking about, I'm probably 3/8 of the way through of all of my photos and videos.
And of course, you guys will be seeing this on our YouTube channel. And
yeah, I'm slowly going through them, and I'm still on Saturday morning. But anyway, what did I say? Oh, I hope that the video that you took, that we're able to actually hear some of the dialogue that was being spoken by the contestants. Because especially like with the Sailor Moon skit and the Final Fantasy VI skit, I mean, you could hear right up front the actors as they were saying their lines. And it was so cool. And they were just so on point with it. And it was just like...
Well, we'll see. Unfortunately, given the acoustics in that room and the way they had the speakers set up, it sounded mostly clear to us, but there was a slight bit of distortion.
Yeah.
So it may be a little difficult to hear on some of our recordings. I mean, obviously we'll do post on it and see if we can clean it up.
Sure.
I mean, I did the best I could with what I had. Hopefully in the near future, well, maybe the far future, depending on budget, we will be getting a nicer rig and an external audio input so that we can, better record these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to harp on our budgetary situation, just saying that when we get the money, we will get a better recording rig. So, but other than that, it was a lot of fun. And you guys will get a special surprise at the end of this broadcast.
Don't look so sad and sorrowful. This is awesome.
I'm not sad and sorrowful. This is my pitiful look.
Why is it pitiful? Don't be pitiful. It's awesome. I promise you, it's really cool. I'm going to screen share it. Hopefully the audio will work. If it doesn't, let me know. And then I'll just paste it in later.
I was there last year for this, and I was here this year for it again, and I will admit openly that I participated.
But you know what? This is one of those moments where it doesn't matter how old you are, what your interests are, what your fandom is, whether you like to cosplay, whether you don't like to cosplay, whether you like the show, whether you don't like the show. It brings people together.
It does do that, and it definitely did that.
Oh, yeah.
At the skit contest.
That was the one thing I really love about the way that I filmed this, is that it literally is like all groups of people got together and joined as one. It was so cool.
Very enthusiastically, might I add.
Yes.
I did want to say that there was a very big problem I had with the skit contest, and it was very simple, and it's very simple to fix. Please, for the love of all that is holy, do not blast us with mind-numbing music and colored strobe lighting because you did not feel like getting off the stage and not warn us about it. Some people in the audience could have been prone to seizures given that lighting. Not to mention that the music volume hurt my ears.
Mm-hmm.
I had a headache within 30 seconds of the lighting and the music going off. It was so bad that I had to put up my gear blind. I had to shut my eyes and put up my gear by touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so upset about it that I tried to go and immediately tell the staff to please turn it off because it was seriously giving me problems. And all the staff were running to huddle in the corner, so I never got a hold of any of them.
Of course.
But for medical reasons, I ask you, the staff, earnestly, please do not do that again without warning. Because there are people like me who are uber sensitive to it. And needless to say, I was very, very, very unhappy after the skit contest because of it. I had to go up to my room and take medication, which I wouldn't have had to do if there wasn't strobe lighting and really loud music. So please don't do that again. That aside, overall thoughts?
It's still a good Hangout Con. And yeah, I think that there were a lot of problems here and there that they're going to address, and I think that they're aware that it didn't run as smoothly as it should have, even with the lack of staff and even with all these issues. I think there's something definitely underlying going on in the background that resulted in a lot of problems that shouldn't have happened. And for me, I enjoyed myself because I had friends to hang out with. I met a lot of great people. I was able to talk shop with people, and for me, it was just about the people, and that's what made it a fun convention. And it wasn't the convention itself, which kind of disappointed me, because A-Fest is one of those that I look forward to every single year since I first attended, and this is only my third year going. So, and again, I say this as an attendee. As a panelist, I had a blast.
I will admit that I was very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking entirely as an attendee. I was very frustrated and disappointed with the con, just because the disorganization basically destroyed any fun I could have had.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that in the hopes that they will fix it, because Anime Fest has always been my favorite convention since I started going, because of the particular atmosphere that it has.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, after losing the attendance cap, it has lost that atmosphere. This seriously did not feel like A-Fest to me. It felt like a miniature A-Con without the efficiency. And A-Con is not a bad convention. God knows I go every year, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this just really wasn't what I was expecting, and I know that A-Fest is capable of better, because they've done better in the past, so I know they can do it.
Yeah.
So, this is not to say that I won't go next year, but I know that, you know, if I end up being able to go next year, you know, given work and school and everything, my expectations bar is going to be a lot lower for the convention. They'll have a much lower bar to meet just because of what happened this year. And hopefully that will mean a pleasant surprise, you know, that they definitely exceed expectations, but they've definitely got their work cut out for them, and they're probably going to need more staffers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all in all, I don't know if I can say I had a good time, to be honest, because
yeah,
I was just so busy constantly, and there were always, you know, the little I ended up being kind of annoyed by the little things that happened here and there, which I know they're little things, you shouldn't get annoyed over them. But at the time, this was kind of supposed to be my vacation con, and this was not turning into a good vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up just kind of being annoyed by the little things. So I guess I would say that at this point, I'm not entirely sure, like, if I were to give it an overall grade, what I would give it, because I genuinely don't know. So hopefully next year will be better.
Either way. It's rough, and I think especially for us, we're going to be a little bit more critical about it because we expect so much out of them.
And again, we don't say this to just complain because it makes us feel better.
No, because we know
hope they will address this.
Yeah, we know that they can do better.
That's
the thing. We know that they can do it.
And I did notice that for as many people were saying that this was just a fantastic, perfect convention, the vast majority of those people were first-year attendees.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have anything to compare it to. For those of us that have attended the convention for a while, we tend to be a little more critical because we have something to compare it to. So, you know, in comparison, yeah, this probably wasn't as good. For the first-year attendees, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
So what they need to do now is to find a balance between the two.
Right.
So that, all in all, was A-Fest. We will be working as fast as we are capable of doing to get our video and photos up on the website, on our YouTube channel. You know, we'll update our social media as we do it. Just, I will say to the listeners that this week has really been, like, hard on both of us. And we really haven't had that much time to focus on doing this. So we haven't forgotten about it. It's just kind of fallen to, like, fourth or fifth on the priority stack at the moment. So this weekend, we're going to really kick it into high gear and try and get what we can done.
Absolutely.
I will warn people that the panels will be truncated. They'll be short. simply because I ended up having to leave early to pack up my gear and go run over to catch the next panel. So I do apologize in advance. Yes, the majority of panels are going to end up cutting off somewhere. I didn't have a choice. Hopefully, if there are other panels you would like to see that we did not film, Anime Fest TV is the YouTube channel for Anime Fest. They have started putting up their video of the panels that they took. I don't know that they videoed every single panel, but they did, from what I saw, film a vast majority of them, so that you will also be able to see their footage that they filmed with their much, much, much nicer equipment than ours.
I can say for certain, they did not film every panel, because they did not film my spandex panel.
So these things will be up on their YouTube channel, which again is Anime Fest TV. That's all one word. So check them out as well. And other than that, I believe we have an interview and a special presentation.
Yeah, I'll throw the interview somewhere in the middle, because if we're done, I'm going to try the screen share thing and see if I can get this going.
We're done. Have your special presentation. We don't have any viewers. We don't
have
any viewers anymore anyway.
All right, we're going to share that one. All right, is it on the screen?
Yes, it's on the screen. I have to mute myself now.
Hang on. But tell me if you can hear it.
However, there's a little bit of a tradition.
Can we hear it? That was a yes. We can hear it. Awesome. We are going to play this. Enjoy!
For everybody to get a little bit more energy, we definitely want to go into these skits with a lot of energy. DJ, you want to spin the record real quick? Play that shit! Get up on your feet. I'm